include the name, date, and address of said event in a format that is no longer than a sentence or two on Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, at least 2 weeks in advance of your event date. Space is limited, so submissions are considered in the order that they are received. The Social Justice Calendar is yet another way that WPFW connects, engages, and uplifts our community as we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Freedom. My name is M1. I'm half of the legendary Tell It Like It Is, Everything Is Political rap duo Dead Prez. And this is WPFW, Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
I got so much trouble on my mind. Refuse to lose. Here's your ticket.
He is amazing.
I didn't know nothing about it.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Say what you say, say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo.
Put the finger roll! Plus the foul!
Hey, young bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day or Oscar Robinson.
Flash the dice roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Collision. This is your home for jazz and justice at 89.3 M WPFW. We are the show where sports and politics collide, and we are aiming to change the world one broadcast at a time. I'm joined today by Chuck Modiano. How you doing, Chuck?
BZ, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great because one of the things we're going to do today, in addition to talking that talk that we always do where sports and politics collide, we're going to do some pledging because people need to support WPFW. Is Katia Stitt there?
She is.
Yay!
Good morning.
Good morning,
morning
Katia.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. We have so much stuff to get to today.
Yes, we do.
We're going to look back on the WNBA Finals. We're going to look forward to the Yankees-Dodgers World Series, an all-time rivalry. We're going to take a moment to pay our respects to the great Fernando Valenzuela, who passed away, the iconic pitcher for the LA Dodgers. And certainly, if we have time, we might do some NBA picks, or maybe we'll make fun of Aaron Rodgers. Whatever it is people want, sports and politics collide. All that stuff is fun for us. But we got a couple things to take care of first. The first is about supporting WPFW. Katia, can you tell our listeners how they can do that?
I certainly can. You can call 800-222-9739-WPFWFM.org also, and you can use Cash App at $WPFWFM.
Wow, excellent. And people should give to WPFW for no other reason than just take a look at the media this election season. It has been a catastrophe in terms of how they've been reporting on these elections, a catastrophe in how they do what is being called sane washing of Donald Trump, taking some of his most horrific fascist statements. And then when they report them on the news, it's done all happy and go lucky. Like Donald Trump could say, I want to round up millions of immigrants and put them in camps and deport them and we'll use police to do it. And the media will say, Donald Trump with daring new immigration policy. That's sane washing. And that's what the media has been doing with Donald Trump. And then with Kamala Harris, where's the accountability? Where's the accountability by the media of asking her whether she can win this election while turning her back on the youth and on the left in order to court the mythical unicorn type creature known as the Cheney Democrat? Hey, I think there's one in my house right now. I think there's one in your house too, Chuck. Can you see the Cheney Democrat?
I can't. I mean,
they're right in front of you, Chuck. Can't you see them?
Yeah, there are about five of them across America, and we alienate human rights to try to get those five people.
Wow, I've got like six in my house right now. I see them. They're right in front. Give me a break. This is like that old Jimmy Stewart movie with the rabbit, where he keeps thinking, Harvey, that's what it's called, where he keeps
Harvey,
seeing
his... I remember that.
Yeah, he keeps thinking, he keeps telling everybody he sees an invisible rabbit. The Cheney Democrat is the invisible rabbit of 2024. And yet this is what Kamala Harris has chosen to defend us from fascism, as she now puts it explicitly. She did last night on CNN. But there's that disconnect, Chuck. How do you defend us from fascism by adopting Republican policies? It makes no logical sense. It only makes sense if you understand it as in her and, frankly, her party, her institutional party, fears raising expectations on our side more than they fear a Donald Trump restoration. That's my analysis. But
I mean, but I agree. I agree. Mm. You can't fight fascism with fascism.
Certainly not. Or a kinder, gentler one. Like,
right,
say, we won't put people in camps, but we will hyper-militarize the border. It's like you're giving right. into the logic that, right. that they're instead of challenging it. But you know, but all of that, I went on a little bit. All of that, though, speaks to the absence of true accountability by the media. And that's what WPFW wants to provide for all of our listeners, is the news they are not getting elsewhere. And the reason you can't get it elsewhere is we're not trying to weasel our way to interview Lindsey Graham or some senator from a red state. We're not trying to weasel our way into kissing up to the powers that be. We're looking at news from a whole different kind of perspective to deliver it to you. Now, how can people support WPFW, Katia?
They can do it by calling. I know. That button, by calling 800-222-9739. Or WPFWFM.org. And if I may, I also want to thank Anonymous, who pledged at the end of On the Margin. So thank you for supporting On the Margin. And we hope that folks will continue to support The Collision, because this is going to be a great listen, and we have a surprise for you as well. So 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Let's go for The Collision, for Chuck, for Dave, for Eitan. Do it now.
Well, let me tell you, you just mentioned a guy named Chuck Modiano. Before we start talking about these WNBA finals, we need to discuss the fact that our Chuck Modiano is winning an award on Saturday.
Oh, you know about this.
Yes, we do.
Oh, we didn't even discuss this.
I know we didn't discuss this. That's on purpose. Katia and I discussed it.
All right.
Just not around you, sir, because we wanted to say it on the air as a surprise to you, to let you know that we are thrilled for you, and we are honored to do this show with you, and we're particularly honored with our association with you when we look at the other people who are going to be honored at this Peace and Justice Awards Gala. That's what really makes it special, Chuck. Like, Chuck, you could come over to my house right now and I'll give you an award. Who cares?
That's right.
You know, I'll give you a pillow from my couch and say, congratulations, Chuck, you get the pillow award. You know, anybody can get an award. But when you get an award lined up next to somebody like the great Reverend Graylin Hagler.
Oh, don't even get me started.
You know, and God bless you, Reverend Hagler. And organizations like Harriet's Wildest Dreams.
Yeah.
And the Palestinian Youth Movement, the DMV chapter. And so with Reverend Hagler, with Harriet's Wildest Dreams, with the Palestinian Youth Movement, we have Chuck Modiano, our co-host, co-award winner, total deserving of this award. And I think that that goes without saying, anybody who knows the work that Chuck does documenting the actions in the streets of D.C. knows that we cannot say enough how grateful we are that he is the person who's out there making sure that the actuality of what takes place is what the world knows. And goodness knows, Chuck, there's been more than one occasion where the footage you have taken has helped people who the law says they ran afoul of their dictates, even though oftentimes that's complete trash, as a way to marginalize, isolate, and oppress protesters. You've not only been a voice for those protesters, Chuck, you have actually been a force to keep people free. So, Chuck, all I have to say is, honor to do the show with you. You deserve every second of what takes place at the Bolivian Embassy, October 26th, 4 to 8 p.m. Folks should definitely show up, not just to support Chuck, who I know you love because you listen to this show, but also to pay respect to the incredible Reverend Graylin Hagler and the organizations Harriet's Wildest Dreams and the Palestinian Youth Movement DMV. So, Chuck, the only question I have for you is, what in the world do you have on the organizers of the Peace and Justice Awards Gala to put you in this company? Are we talking video? Man. Are we talking pictures? Are we talking audio recordings? What do you have lined up to be on this stage?
No, that's good. I understand that. It's like, you know, when Donald Trump has something on Lindsey Graham and all of a sudden Lindsey Graham is saying everything, right? I feel the same way. I mean, I'm ridiculously humbled to be in such company. And you know, it's just been an honor over the years to interview Reverend Hagler so many times, to interview folks from the Palestinian Youth Movement, to interview Harriet's Wildest Dreams. They're amazing. We were just at a Harriet's Wildest Dreams Tuesday. That's October 22nd. People know that is the National Day of Protest Against Police Brutality. And we had parents in the street talking about their loved ones. This is the kind of work that Harriet's Wildest Dreams does. Mm-hmm. And so to be involved in that space is the ultimate honor. The same with the Palestinian Youth Movement. They've been doing this for years. And then I want to say a note about Reverend Hagler, because everybody, I think, knows Reverend Hagler. You know about Charlottesville, right? What people don't know is that on the lead up to Charlottesville for about 2 months, people were meeting in Reverend Hagler's church. Is what would be our response to the folks in Charlottesville? So when they came in like 300, we came in 3,000. And that wasn't just, you know, by happenstance. That was through organizing. And we came in 10 to 1 and we said the Nazis go home. And yes, people remember the what happened, the horrible thing, what happened to Heather Heyer. But I'm gonna tell you, you know, sort of why that happened. Well, we shut them down. Then the next response was to have a terrorist act with the man who came in with the car. I forget his name and I don't care that I forget his name, who murdered Heather Heyer. But the point is that happened in a space at Reverend Hagler's church and open that space in the tradition of Dr. King, in the tradition of the social justice activists. So like, I'm beyond humble, beyond honored. I think your first take of what did I do and what do I have on somebody to be in that space is the right one. Yeah.
No. Don't confuse humor with truth, Chuck. You totally deserve this. And let me just say something quickly about Reverend Hagler. I've known Reverend Hagler for a quarter century. And very briefly, I just want to say how we first met and bonded. I was part of helping organize a march of striking nurses over at the Washington Hospital Center, which, you know, is marching distance to Reverend Hagler's church at Plymouth.
Right.
And because I was one of the organizers, I got in working with the union. I had the idea of saying, let's get in touch with this, you know, very well-known civil rights reverend whose church is nearby. Maybe we can fill the pews and maybe he can have something for parishioners one late afternoon on a weekday, and we can fill the place and say some words. And so I get in touch with Reverend Hagler, you know, like totally like a sir, do you think it's possible? The church, not only did he say absolutely, he made sure there was community there on a weeknight over on North Capitol Street. He spoke and of course brought the house down. Reverend Hagler, one of the great public speakers I've ever seen in my entire life. One of the nurses spoke beautifully. I still remember her name. And then Reverend Hagler, while a nurse, her name was Dina Kokobu, while she was speaking, Reverend Hagler comes up to me in the wings, and I'm just a young dude, and Reverend Hagler says, you speak next. And I did the Chuck thing, where I'm like, and this is what makes you so wonderful, Chuck, is I said, no, I'm not an out front guy, I'm just trying to help organize, do my part, the nurses should speak. Women, people of color, like there's no reason for me to get up there on that lectern. And he said to me, no, Dave, my congregation is in this audience and people need to know that it's not just about supporting the nurses, but it's about the community getting involved, not just passively, but actively. So to have you speak as a community member is a key part of how we need to organize. And wow. I was in awe of the wisdom contained in that statement, because it can be a passive experience if you're just listening to the nurses and you're just like, wow, go nurses.
Yeah.
But to hear like how you can help. And that's where Reverend Hagler's mind always is.
Oh,
love Reverend Hagler. So much respect for that man.
He's amazing. You know, he's been in the streets for a long time, long before I am. I have been in their streets, and you know, you've been saying Free Palestine with his chest out for a long time, not in, in just recent years, for folks who don't know, when it maybe wasn't so popular to do so. Let's just say that. I mean, he's always been on the side of justice. Same goes for the incredible Palestinian youth movement, Harris Wilder's dream. These are like giants in DC. So if anyone knows, and it's just an honor to amplify those voices. And it's interesting because, you know, the award is called the Paul Robeson Peace and Justice Award. Now, you and I know.
I'm sorry, Chuck, but we should really emphasize that.
Yeah,
Paul Robeson.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, you're right. But he's this giant, but it's interesting. You and I are sports guys, right? And it's funny because when I'm in the street covering protests, most people aren't sports. And then there's a contingent, you know, among the left that almost looks down on sports. And I get why. They're legitimate reasons. We've been discussing this on the show for years. So here I am on Tuesday. I'm slipping out of at the end of the police national protest against police brutality. It's winding down, and I'm trying to find a bar to slip in to watch the Knicks opener. Big mistake, by the way. I should have left that, you know, alone the way that turned out. But, you know, this is sort of these worlds I'm moving in. But what I think people know Paul Robeson, but they don't know that he was also ahead as far as an athlete activist. We tend to start athlete activists with Jackie Robinson or the 60s, but this is a guy who was just a giant in the original NFL, who was at Rutgers, who was incredible, but faced incredible racism on top of it. And when he was fighting against Jim Crow, he didn't just say actor, he said actor and athlete against Jim Crow. And you could see the pictures of him fighting, and he gets a little bit written out of history from the athlete activist point of view. Shout out to Howard Bryant, who wrote The Heritage and restored him and had him almost on the first page and did that. But he gets written out of athlete activist conversations, and that is a mistake that happens, and that has to be restored as well. So I remind everyone, he was one of the greatest athletes who ever lived.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories in that department about Robeson is, did you know for decades, I'm blanking on the year, but the year he was a senior at Rutgers, Paul Robeson was an All-American.
Yes.
And for decades, the All-American team only had 21 and not 22 members for decades. Because during the Cold War, they took Robeson's name off the list because he dared stand up for Communist Party members who were also being subject to repression.
That's right.
So an amazing thing that for decades, this country just felt like it was fine to say, oh yeah, that year there were just 21 All-Americans. You don't have to worry about 22.
That's
don't
right.
worry, don't ask who number 22 is. You know, that's like erasing people. You know, that is.
Well, he has been erased. And on some level, he's been still around. I mean, I could argue that Paul Robeson's the most underrated, one of the most underrated figures in history. I mean, when you're just talking about as an athlete, an actor, a singer, a Renaissance man, a scholar, everything. I mean, what he did under the circumstances that he did it and that he did not cave, he did not bow down, he kept his dignity no matter what happened. And to this day, that repression that happened over decades to silence Paul Robeson or write him out of even the athlete history, there's still remnants of that. So he still needs to be restored. And we have to do the work of restoring this great individual.
No, amen, because we do stand on the shoulders of giants, but people need to know who those giants are and be familiar with the lessons that we're drawing from them. Otherwise, it's just rhetoric. Like, oh, we stand on the shoulders of giants. You know, that's not how it works.
Isn't that how it works? Once someone is dead, no matter how radical they were, they're embraced, but they're never embraced. Their ideas aren't embraced in the present form. But if you die, we love you, right? But we don't want your ideas in 2024.
Hey, if that's not the story of how U.S. history is taught in the present and the past,
yeah,
I don't know what is. I'm just glad we have so many conscious history teachers out there. Y'all are the last line of defense against the falsification of U.S. history. So bless you. But Chuck, that's we got so much to discuss. That's the main thing is congratulations to you. Very deserved. I hope this inspires you, Chuck, to take the infinite hours you have of amazing protest footage, maybe even say this at the award ceremony, Chuck, that you're going to take all that footage and you're going to turn it into a multi-part series about struggle over the last 10 years.
Well, you know, we've talked privately about this, and I have so many documentaries on my hands, but the one I absolutely have to make is the 2020 George Floyd uprising. I mean, I have great footage on the Ferguson uprising, but people know Ferguson happened. And what's interesting about DC, they don't know the 2020 uprising and what it was about happened, because if you look from George Floyd to January 6th, you cannot understand what happened in January 6th if you don't understand the police repression of the 8 months that preceded it coming off of George Floyd. And while Minnesota and Minneapolis was getting attention, and while Portland was popping off and getting attention, and while Atlanta, right with Rayshard Brooks, was getting attention, DC went uncovered. So if there's any of them that I absolutely feel like there's a duty to make, it's the one that people don't even know happened, and some of the incredible people that I had met along the way over those 8 months. So that's where the one that I absolutely have to get done. And we've talked about this, but now I need to shut up and get moving.
Yeah, that has actually very important historical input, because those were the demonstrations that Trump wanted to turn guns on. And that was disavowed by his military leadership. Like, he wanted to shoot DC residents, DMV residents who were there protesting. So this becomes very important to show what was actually taking place that made Donald Trump and Melania go to the basement of the White House because they were so afraid. Looking forward to that, Chuck. But I digress. We're here to support Chuck and all his amazing awardness. We're here to talk about the WNBA Finals. WNBA. We're here to talk about the World Series. But first, people need to hear how you can support WPFW. So not only can we continue to do the work that we always do, talking about sports and politics, but so we can help platform amazing folks like Chuck Modiano, who the mainstream media sees as something close to reprehensible. Well, we embrace Chuck here. Know yourself
You're pretty reprehensible too, you know. You've been embraced as pretty reprehensible. You were writing Palestine articles in 2008 for The Nation, which probably got you banned and blackballed from mainstream spaces for a while now. So I'm happy to be reprehensible with you.
Well, nothing other than New York pizza, nothing is tastier on this earth than the tears of my enemies. So moving forward, we need to support WPFW. WPFWFM.org is an easy way to do it. Or, that's the easy, WPFWFM.org. But also, you can call in and absolutely donate so we continue to do this utterly important work. Katia Stitt, are you there?
I'm right here, and congratulations, Chuck. We're so proud of you, as we are Reverend Hagler and Harriet's Wildest Dreams and the Palestinian Youth Movement DMV chapter. And we should also mention that our own Esther Iverum will be emceeing the event, and James Early, the esteemed James Early, is the keynote speaker. So that is what's happening exactly Saturday at the Bolivian Embassy, 4 p.m. We can celebrate Chuck. And
Just don't tell James Early Chuck is being awarded. He won't come within 10 blocks of the place.
Uh-oh. Well,
I'm just kidding. They don't know each other. I'm just joking around.
No, okay.
I'm going to leave that alone.
No. I'm just poking fun at Chuck. Yeah. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Katia. I'm so immature. Okay. Please continue.
But we do want to thank Anonymous out of Upper Marlboro, Maryland, for getting us started. So we are in need of $400 now this hour. And it is 10:25, so we have 35 minutes to do it, folks. We can do this together. Many hands do indeed make light work. Look, you can use the work, the example of Chuck and Reverend Hagler and Harriet's Wildest Dreams and the Palestinian youth movements. That's many hands, right? Mm-hmm. And they are all pulling on the same rope of justice. And this is the way we move the needle. They have moved the needle collectively by working together. You know, Chuck is a journalist, an activist journalist. Reverend Hagler is a liberatory pastor and activist. Of course, the other two organizations doing great work, intersectional work, we should say. So both of those groups are being honored. And all of them, Chuck and Reverend Hagler, doing intersectional work. So this is what WPFW is about. This is what the collision is about, you know, where sports and politics collide. And we would have it no other way. And we're so happy to have this platform. But you, the listener, the people, make this platform possible. So please join us, be in solidarity with us, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, to, especially today, honor Chuck Modiano. Make that pledge in honor of Chuck's good work. When you're out there, I've seen him in action. Where you're a journalist on the front line, and I've seen him at the big protests, you know. There are other protests that are much more harrowing. I mean, these can be harrowing, but there are other protests where the police are really ready to shut the people down. And Chuck is always there, putting his body in harm's way to capture what is happening on the ground. And Ferguson the same, all around the country. You know, Chuck Modiano is there, and he is to be celebrated and appreciated and respected for doing that work. Because often it's a thankless piece. And so we can honor Chuck today by pledging in his name. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. I'm sorry, gentlemen. Got a little... Well,
I can't even imagine what you're sorry for. That was so beautiful. And it speaks to one last thing we have to say about Chuck. And I think his face right now probably looks like a red apple.
Yeah, so I'm ready for WNBA. I appreciate you both.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I know. But I got to say one last thing. Is that you are the number one person, and you've changed the way I approach activism over the years I've known you. You're the number one person in understanding when to take a step back and when to move forward with your camera, when to platform others, and when to be heard. Your balance at doing this is so mindful of racism, sexism, and homophobia that it is a tremendous example to others who are entering movements where they're not directly affected in terms of direct oppression by the issue involved. Of course, we're all affected by oppression in different ways, but I'm talking about the direct oppression that somebody feels due to racism, sexism, all the isms that make somebody marginalized. Chuck navigates those spaces in a way that I think is model work. And the fact that you're actually stepping up and getting an award is kind of ironic, given the amazing role you play in these struggles. But frankly, that makes it all the sweeter for me, because it shows that people actually see the work you're doing and how intentional it is. And that's the last thing I wanted to say.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. With help of protesters, you know, we get checked sometimes, media. And if I get checked, rightfully so, I got to listen. You know, you have to listen, and you have to pay attention. If I did something wrong, if I put up a video and for some reason, you know, something was off about it, and someone asked me, you know, take that down because it could be perceived as someone in harm's way or something like that, I'm going to pull it down, right? But aside from that, are we I appreciate all the great words, and we want to talk about the WNBA. Am I right? Am I right, DZ?
Well, we're right, because to speak about the WNBA speaks also to your humiliation as a sportscaster. And frankly, you've been getting way too much, as Coach might say, you've gotten way too much butter on your bread this morning.
Go for it.
So we got to scrape off some of that butter and remind our listeners that last Thursday, when the New York Liberty, the star-laden New York Liberty, going for their first championship in the history of the WNBA, are up 2-1 on the scrappy Minnesota Lynx, who are lucky to even win one game at this point. And I said on the radio that I thought the Minnesota Lynx were well-coached enough and scrappy enough to still come back and win this best of five series. And you laughed, Chuck. You absolutely laughed.
Did I disagree vehemently?
You did one of those evil person laughs from 100 years ago, like you were strapping me to the train tracks, like, while twisting your mustache. The Lynx have no chance.
And I thought they would have very little chance. But go ahead. Keep. I like you embellishing right now. Keep with it.
Oh, there's no embellishing here, baby, because the Lynx did what I thought they would do. You know, it's like Rudy Tomjanovich said when he coached the Houston Rockets and they won back-to-backs in 1995, even though they were a sixth seed in the playoffs. And he said, never underestimate the heart of a champion. Yeah. And that's what happened here. Chuck underestimated the heart of a champion. But alas, this is not a story of the triumph of Dave Zirin and his prognosticating, or in a secondary way, the celebration of the Minnesota Lynx. Because that was a joke.
It's not a joke, because I would actually celebrate the Lynx, but we'll get to that in a second, because I'm gonna call foul on the way it ended. Go ahead.
I'm glad you're gonna do that, because you're a moral person and that's what you gotta do. So the Lynx come back, make it 2-2, and then in the decisive fifth game in Brooklyn, it goes to overtime. The New York Liberty win 67-62. And then truly the bleep hit the fan in terms of the commentary of Minnesota coach Cheryl Reeve, future Hall of Famer. Let's just say that there were a lot of unhappy feelings after game five. Chuck, speak to it, please.
Yeah, I was one of those who was unhappy, and precisely because it was such an amazing series, arguably one of the best I have ever seen, if you're taking game for game. Four of the five games were nail biters. Two went into overtime. One had a 4-point play to take a 1-point lead, a la Larry Johnson Knicks back in the day, for those who know what I'm talking about, against the Indiana Pacers. You had these moments. You had a savvy drop in a three to win a game. Every game was the O tier decided by a couple points except one. And you have all of this, and it's incredible, and you're at the edge of your seat. And then you get to the very end, and there is a foul call on the great Breonna Stewart that was not a foul. And here is, in my opinion, what makes it reprehensible.
Let's be clear, though. You said a foul. I mean, it was Breonna Stewart who was fouled when making a move to the basket down two in the closing seconds.
Well, that's what the refs say. Now, in watching basketball over decades, that call is not one that is made. It's just not one that is made. Because if you try to justify it, it'd be about the weakest definition. It's not something where, as Cheryl Reeve said, she said, that's not something you decide a game on. So when that was called, and then they went to the review and they upheld it, it left a bad taste on my mouth, because when you fight that hard, when you have a series that comes that's tooth and nail, and particularly the Minnesota Lynx, okay, who are playing above themselves. Now, and understand the Liberty, the reason I chose the Liberty easy, I thought it was going to be four games tops, is because they had an incredible size advantage. Again, they out-rebounded by 10. Every game, they're out-rebounding like by 10. So they're getting extra shots. So the Minnesota Lynx have to shoot better. They have to hustle better. They have to grab loose balls better. Basically, Nafisa Collier in a nutshell, the entire embodiment of Nafisa Collier. is that scrappiness. And the Lynx, I don't believe, have another shot at this. I really don't. You got to go through the Aces. You got to go through the Liberty. And they played over their heads. If you go to the predictions at the beginning of this year on ESPN, guess what? The Lynx aren't even picked to make the playoffs. Not even 1 through 8. So they have this incredible year, play over their heads. I'm sorry, Courtney Williams up till this year was a journeywoman and plays out of her mind. So if I'm Minnesota Lynx and I overcome all of that and I overcome a front line that is 6'6", Jonquel Jones, that's 6'5", bringing Sabali off the bench, that's 6'4", Breonna Stewart. You got almost every player is 6'1 or under. And you do all that. And then at the end of the day, you give the Empire the phantom foul, the weak sauce foul. Yeah, I'm going to have a bitter taste on my mouth. And I think what you saw was Cheryl Reeve was backing her players because every Lynx player in that locker room said that was wrong. We fought our hearts out against a bigger team, a more athletic team, a taller team. And that's what we get. So it left a bad taste in my mouth. And I think I've just expressed that.
You know, something else leaves a bad taste in my mouth, too. And that was, I'm sorry, but the horrific, horrific shooting of New York Liberty guard Sabrina Ionescu.
Yeah.
You can't talk about this game without talking about her going 1 for 19 from the field. It would be like talking about game 7 of Knicks Rockets in 94 and not mentioning that John Starks went 2 for 17. Except the big difference is that the Rockets won that game. And in this case, the Liberty won this game. And that was another thing that sort of was a sign to me that the basketball gods did not want that foul called and did not want Breonna Stewart to go to the foul line. Breonna Stewart also traveled, I thought, quite egregiously.
Yes. Before there she was made a travel as well. That's
do you know
right.
Do you know how your brain can work like super quickly, even when things only take 5 seconds sometimes and you can have like 60 thoughts in just a ricochet second? When Breonna Stewart traveled, I saw it immediately. And my brain in that split second said, good, they don't want this to end cheaply. Give her the travel. But then to have the foul called.
Oh.
I mean, it's like it's almost like the refs were like, ah, screw the travel. Let them play. Oh, that was a foul.
Yeah, it might have been called in from the league. I mean,
what are you
doing? Listen, DZ. Sabrina Ionescu and Breonna Stewart shot a combined 5 for 34. This is the two big stars, Jonquel Jones, Captain. 5 for 34. You did all that. Not only that, you had a free throw disparity that they had to overcome as well. And that free throw disparity was 25 free throws for the Liberty and only 8 for the Lynx. When I add it all up, and then you have time to deliberate that call, my concern is that now the WNBA is losing some of its authenticity and becoming more like the NBA, that when you have more eyes and then when you have more people watching, now you're more in control of maybe corporate sponsors and trying to please them and trying to grow. And we all know the New York is the big market. We understand this. The Lynx, you know, they're not the Aces. People didn't say that Lynx would be there. So when I start to feel that you're pulling some NBA moves so you could grow the sport as opposed to have an authentic sport, that bothers me. And I think, in my opinion, that's what we saw.
Mm. And one last comment on this, and then we're going to tell you how you can support WPFW. We're going to look at this, Chuck, from a totally counterintuitive perspective than what you just said.
Okay.
And say that there are some things about the old WNBA that I wouldn't mind so terrible if they eschewed or threw away and then embraced a little bit more attitude. And I want to say what I mean by that. I went to college in Minnesota. I take the Minnesota Lynx very seriously. And so I'm looking at the social medias of the people who talk about the Lynx. And I thought there was way too much of, hey, this was a historic WNBA season. The Liberty played really hard. You know, it's like no shame in coming in second. Like that kind of atmosphere that the WNBA has had historically, of being like, yo, this is about the league, not individual teams. We got to support one another. This is about building an institution for women's sports that can stand the test of time. And I respect that, Chuck. I respect that as an approach. I'm a coach myself, and I always tell my kids, it's not winning or losing. It's winning and learning. All of that being said, Chuck, the Minnesota fans deserved to be heck a piss. Peeved.
Yes.
I've got to watch my language. They deserve to be extremely peeved. And I don't think there's anything wrong with expressing that in as salty language as possible, given the egregious nature of how that game ended.
Okay. Here's
That's what I say. That's what I say.
I heard you. I heard you. And here's where I think the line is. If you think something is merely bad officiating, as a coach, I'm a coach. If Coach McNutt were on the line here now, hey, we got to suck it up. These things happen. Be good sports people, sportsmanship, sportswomanship, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the attitude. However, when you believe something foul play entered the equation, when you believe something was intentionally taken from you that wasn't incompetence, but was, okay, you know what, to grow the game, we got to maybe uplift the liberty. And what we're going to see for the next 15 years with Caitlin Clark, because this is an extension of the Caitlin Clark discussion where there is a group who thinks anything could go as long as it elevates the game. It doesn't matter if Black women are being harassed and denigrated in their social media, denigrated media, as long as it elevates the game, anything goes. I reject that. I am of the Aja Wilson camp who says, at what cost? And there has to be a medium between, okay, when you want to grow the game and when is something not fair, not right, not true, not accurate. And when that happens, we have to call it out. And I feel personally, having watched decades of basketball, having read Tim Donaghy's book, not talk about him, but about some of the things that I learned that go
the
on
famously,
with reference.
Yeah, the famously crooked referee, Tim right. Donaghy. I just had right. to say that for our audience.
No, the famously crooked. I'm going to say something about him in a second. If I'm of the belief that it was foul play. So if I believe it's foul play and other people believe it's foul play, it's hard then to go back and say, hey, listen, you win some, lose some. Because that's with the assumption that just incompetence was at play. Okay? So that's my problem, and I can't get past it. I can't move past it. Not when I know how hard the links work. I can't get past it, DZ. I can't.
I'm with you because you know I'm such a Lynx fan. And I respect you, Chuck, for saying so, even given where you were leaning a week ago. Before I go to Katia Stitt, just so she can tell us how we can support WPFW, because trust me, we need more monetary support than even the WNBA. Got to support WPFW. But before I turn it to Katia Stitt, I want you to know, Chuck, that I know a group of New York Liberty fans who meet in D.C. to watch the games. I'm inviting all of them to the Peace and Justice Awards so they can heckle you for saying that their championship is not legitimate.
Tainted. It's not legit.
We're going to show up, not me because I'm not a fan, but I'm going to make sure they show up in uniforms.
That's
and
right.
all sit together and boo and chant for the Liberty.
Well,
no,
listen,
I'm not
going
to do any of that. I'm sorry.
Well, if you did, you could bring the 2002 Lakers fans that where the Sacramento Kings got robbed and it's all on videotape. We could have a whole show on that one.
No, I fear that would derail the awards ceremony. So maybe I won't do this.
Yeah, we'd love another show.
Katia, can you tell our audience how they can support WPFW?
I certainly can, but before I do that, I want to thank our audience for supporting WPFW and The Collision, starting with our dear friend in Baltimore, Gary Nelson. Thank you so much, Gary.
Drew.
Anonymous, out of Tacoma Park, again, says that they are honoring the liberatory journalist Chuck Modiano with their pledge. Also, we have Frank, yes, we have Chuck, Saturday, please make no mistake, you are stepping in the highest cotton, as Sekou Semenyo say to me all the time. You're stepping in high cotton with them. So, you know, don't underestimate yourself. Don't sell yourself short. This is big. This is big. And we're so proud of you and Reverend Hagler. Frank Alexander.
Just real quick, Katia, Chuck's from New York, so you got to say you get the big slice of the pizza.
Ah, okay. You get the
He's like, the what's pizza? Cotton? You mean my shirt? You don't know what cotton is.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Katia. That was rude. I'm sorry.
The reference doesn't work with y'all. Anyway, we want to thank Frank Alexander out of Alexandria, Virginia, who loves the whole crew and appreciates the show. Keep telling the truth. That's right, Frank. And our dear sister, Brigitte Rousson, who is no stranger to WPFW and a major supporter by now out of D.C., is making the pledge in honor of the Peace and Justice awardees. Thanks. And she challenges all faith-based Ephesus to give. Thank you so much, Brigitte. And so that leaves us, gentlemen, with only $170 to go. We can do that together, folks. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, or on Cash App at $WPFWFM. You know what to do. This is your time. This is participatory media. This is people-powered media. And so we, you know, do our part in presenting programs like The Collision, this fine team of folks that come together on Thursday mornings to bring you sports and politics. Every Thursday morning at 10 a.m., we need you to do what you know how to do, which is support. Support this platform to ensure that The Collision can be here, can be heard, that the stories and the truth-telling that goes on in this hour can be maintained. The number 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, $170 to go. We can get this goal, and we have 15 minutes, gentlemen, to do it.
Let's do it, $170. Let us pull our weight here on The Collision. Well, Chuck, we have listeners for The Collision who are young. We got listeners who are middle-aged, and we got listeners who are seniors. And I'm speaking to the folks who are young right now, so they know why all the people who are middle-aged and seniors are so incredibly geeked for why the New York Yankees are playing the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series. This used to be the most important rivalry in sports.
Right.
This used to, not just baseball, in sports. This was everything, especially when the Dodgers were in Brooklyn. It was like whether you rooted for the Yankees or rooted for the Dodgers said so much about you. And when the Dodgers moved to LA and the rivalry continued, it morphed to be the same thing. Not the same thing, because it wasn't the Brooklyn attitude, but then it was LA and the LA attitude against New York, much more so than Dodgers versus Yankees, LA versus New York. But alas, we have been denied this rivalry for an astounding 43 years. So young people have no idea that this was once the hottest ticket in town. So Chuck, how do we best explain to people that the Dodgers playing the Yankees in the World Series really matters?
Well, I'm going to start with 43 years ago, 1981. That was the year of Fernando Mania. RIP Fernando Valenzuela, who started off that season as a rookie. There was a scratch. Jerry Rice got scratched, and Tommy Lasorda, the manager of the Dodgers, said, "Hey, Fernando, you want to start tomorrow?" And he said, "Okay." And in the next eight starts, he went 8-0 with eight complete games and five shutouts. And after his first seven games, remember, these are all complete games and 63 innings, he only let up two runs for a 0.29 ERA. And Fernando Mania went wild across the country with what everybody's talking about. And he'd be an easy Hall of Famer if he didn't get injured 5 years later. I would argue that he's still a Hall of Famer considering his cultural impact and the fact that he was injured, that should be taken into account. But that's 43 years ago. The other thing I want to say, which you pointed to, if you go back in the day long before I was born, in the 50s and the 60s, really in the 50s, is that it was a New York series. So for kids out there, Jackie Robinson never played in Los Angeles, okay? Jackie Robinson played in Brooklyn. It was the Brooklyn Dodgers before they moved out west. Willie Mays started his career for the New York Giants, not the San Francisco Giants, the late Willie Mays, who just passed, who's so incredible. And so this rivalry that goes back decades started in New York City. And now it's a coastal rivalry. But however, Yankees versus Dodgers, that's something special.
Oh, it really is. You know, I got to say that one of my favorite quotes about Fernando, just because he was so huge, was when he was up for a new contract and Tommy Lasorda, his manager, said, "I don't know if we have enough money to pay him what he deserves. Let's just give Mexico back Texas."
I didn't know that till today.
Isn't that? I may be getting it a little bit wrong. It might have been like just giving Texas back or something, but it was very funny. It was very, very funny. And a great reminder, frankly, of some real history that you don't always get in this country and Texas actually belonged to. But Valenzuela was so good. It was like, just give him Texas back because he's too amazing. That was 1981. Who knew that would be the last time we would see these two titanic franchises face off until 2024? And it is so exciting, Chuck, because I got all these friends who are Mets fans. They're all rooting for the Dodgers. It's just like, it's incredible. You know, even though the Dodgers just beat the Mets in the playoffs, they're switching immediately to saying, heck with it. We're now Dodgers fans.
I know. Because
rooting for the Yankees is just not an option. Back in the 50s, there were all these great quotes that don't really translate well, but like authors would say things like rooting for the Yankees is like rooting for U.S. Steel. Or everybody who roots for the Yankees, I always feel like they own a yacht. Now, not all of that is true, certainly, and U.S. Steel is not what it once was, but it speaks to the idea of the mentality of the Yankees because they were so dominant, and of the Brooklyn Dodgers, who they called the bums because they were always coming up short until they finally won the title in 1955. Which until 1981 was the only time they had actually beaten the Yankees in the World Series. So an incredible legacy, an incredible history, and something we're going to keep very close eyes on. Next week, we're going to talk about how they honored Fernando and what did Fernando Valenzuela, of course, at the World Series and what we think about that, the political implications of these two teams, what baseball actually means to Southern California, which is a fascinating topic of conversation. We're going to talk about all of this because we want you to know, the listener, especially our young listeners, how culturally important it is for the Yankees and the Dodgers to face off. Don't forget, the Yankees were one of the last teams to integrate because the American League was much farther behind the National League in terms of integration. And so that was a marker, too, in terms of what team you rooted for back in the day. Had to point that out as well.
That's absolutely right. Now, you went through a whole list, and you didn't mention this guy, Shohei Ohtani, who had 50 over 50 home runs and 50. I'm a little upset, surprised that you, DZ, that you'd forget that guy having a historic season, who could cap off that historic season with a title. I feel I'm rooting for history. I'm going to root for the Dodgers because I want Shohei Ohtani to get his flowers to cap off this season.
Shohei Ohtani, the greatest baseball player on earth. But what I try to say to folks, and I wrote this in my remembrance of Fernando Valenzuela, is that y'all can't understand how huge baseball was in 1981. Like, if Shohei Ohtani is the king of baseball, and he is the king of baseball, Fernando Valenzuela was a rock star.
Oh, yeah.
Fernando Valenzuela was leave his apartment, walk down the street, and someone has to call the police because the mob is attacking him as he leaves his apartment. I mean, there are levels to this, as the kids say. And Fernando Valenzuela was on a whole nother level because of the place that baseball held in the culture.
That's exactly right.
And that's changed. And I love Shohei. My goodness, do I want to see Shohei show the world and show out. That's just using that all over. But I digress. 10:53 p.m. Flowers for Fernando Valenzuela, of course. Rest in peace. Flowers for Shohei Ohtani. May you reach the top of the mountain like the Orioles, not rooting for the Yankees. I hope that's very clear. Don't take offense. But the one thing that everybody should do is support WPFW, because when we talk about the World Series, we're not going to be talking about who's going to pitch game one and two. We're going to be talking about the history, the legacy, Jackie Robinson, Roy Campanella, Don Newcomb, the way the Brooklyn Dodgers changed the game, the cost that the Negro Leagues paid for the Brooklyn Dodgers, raiding so much of the Negro Leagues of their talent, which had a very, very damaging ripple effect in particularly the South, in Black communities as a whole, the South where the minor leagues really existed in this country, the South and the West. But we're going to talk about that because we want to educate, we want to learn, and we want to let you know the background that's taking place behind the games. And that's why you got to support the Collision. That's why you got to support WPFW. Do it for Chuck Modiano. Katia Stitt, how are we doing?
Well, as we round out the morning, we still have $170 to go, folks. We can do this together. 6 minutes. Let's make this goal so that Chuck can be free and clear on Saturday to celebrate and thank all the people for their donations to WPFW and to the Collision. $170 to go. 800-222-9739. WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect. $170 to go. If we have two sustaining members right now at the $30 or $40 level, we will be golden. Of course, we ask you to give whatever is in your wallet and your heart to give, from $5 to $5,000 to $50,000, $500,000, whatever you have. Give it to the Collision. Let's make this goal this morning. $170.
You know, you just made a very important point, Katia, about why people should give to WPFW. The Peace and Justice Awards tomorrow night, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Bolivian Embassy, are a big deal. Braylon has
Saturday.
Oh, did I say tomorrow? Sorry. Yeah. I got Friday. So Saturday, 4 to 8, Bolivian Embassy, the people being honored, Braylon Hagler, Harriet's Wildest Dreams, the Palestinian Youth Movement, DMV, and our own Chuck Modiano. I mean, this is heady company. So I don't want Chuck to walk up and take his award and say a few words and have the first thing out of his mouth be, "I can't believe we were $170 short on the Collision." Like, you don't want him saying that.
I know where you're going with that.
This is an important moment for Chuck. And we want Chuck to be free and clear, as Katia said so well. Well, that's all we have for time for this week. Thank you so much, Katia Stitt, for joining us. I know we're going to make that goal in the next couple minutes.
Yes. Congratulations, Chuck.
Big congratulations to Chuck Modiano. Proud of you. Proud to know you. For everybody out there listening, for Tom Thomas, Coach McNutt, we are out of here. Stay frosty. Peace.
Fall is a time of change and impermanence. What never changes is WPFW's unwavering commitment to providing reliable news, informative public affairs, and exceptional music that inspires both action and introspection. From October 14th through November 3rd, we celebrate The Circle Unbroken, 47 years of being in the community with WPFW during our Fall Pledge Drive. We invite you to be in community and solidarity with us by making a donation at WPFWFM.org to ensure that this independent grassroots media outlet not only survives, but thrives. It is with your generous support that we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
The DC Palestinian Film and Arts Festival is back in person for the first time in 6 years. There has never been a more critical time to honor stories created by Palestinians from historic Palestine and around the world. This year's festival featured the DC premiere of 6 films, including From Ground Zero, a collection of 22 short films made by Palestinian filmmakers in Gaza since October 7th, and it's Palestine's official submission to Academy Awards. The festival will also host a hands-on workshop to create your own political art, conversation with filmmakers and artists, and the DC book launch of Visualizing Palestine First Book. Details at dcpfaf.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come.
Hi, this is Robin Holden, the proprietor of Robin's Place, every Friday evening from 7 until 10 p.m. Robin's Place is a mythical entertainment center consisting of four floors. On each floor of Robin's Place, we have rooms that are named after people who I think are icons in music, theater, and literature. We have the Nancy Wilson Room, the Joe Williams Room, the Gloria Lynn Room, the Frank Sinatra Room, the B.B. King Blues Room, the James Baldwin Library, just to name a few. Join me Friday nights from 7 until 10 p.m. as I take you on a